Lot of good things. Concerning the administration of the church, just a lot of good legal things and a lot of good things also on qualifications of ministers, the kind of ministers God is raising up. And I'll share some of those in our men's meeting coming up. I think it's the 22nd? Is that Saturday, the 22nd of December? I think it was supposed to be yesterday. Of course, I wasn't here. I didn't get home till late last night. Anyway, I left Louisville and flew to Montreal. And we had a meeting there Friday and Saturday, and then I left yesterday evening, came home, flew home, got home last night. And it was good. We had a case we needed to judge there, plus, so it was a minister's meeting Saturday. But then we also had some just good teaching, good word of God. As far as doctrine's concerned, and I don't know really how they got on it. They got on Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, which we went over that before. In Louisville, I don't remember if it was a year or 2 years ago. I had went out to the foyer because I'd got some text and phone calls that I felt like I probably needed to do something about. And so I went out, because you cannot get a signal in that building because it's an all-metal building. Just get one little mark, you know. So I went out to the foyer by the, they had some chairs sitting next to the doors. You can get a signal there. So I was just really doing some texting and may have stepped outside and made a phone call. But anyway, but while I was sitting there doing that, I heard them get on Daniel 7, Revelation 13, the two-horned beast. So I said, I got to get back in there. This is my subject. This is what I, you know, I got to get in there and see what they're talking about on that. So I got in there, and of course we got in the discussion. It lasted all day and the night service. So we had a day and night on that subject. basically, the discussion was, who is the two-horned beast and how's this all going to take place? really, the brotherhood is not that far apart, especially on the outcome. I think the whole brotherhood agrees that the eighth head is the papacy, and that there will be an image built to the beast that was wounded but did not die. It's not fair, Sister Joanne. Him standing up back there all bowed over and her scratching his back while we're all standing here with ours itching. If you wasn't itching, if you saw that, you would itch. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'll tell you, y'all look good to me this morning. And I'm supposed to leave next week for the Dominican Republic, but I'm going to vow to you when I get home from that, I ain't going anywhere for a while. And I'm aware that this church, you know, any church suffers when the pastor's gone a lot. And I'm really asking the Lord to let me reel it in a little bit and spend more time here and put a greater emphasis on the Little Rock Church, because I think there's great potential here to build I think we're in a place where we could really build. There's great talent here, ministers with good gifts. And so, and just good people. You know, I might be a little bit biased, but I wouldn't trade y'all for anything else that I know of. So, but anyway, I am thankful for what the Lord's doing, you know. I don't know that I'm not sure if I ought to go over. It's fresh in my mind, if y'all want me to go over some of that. But if you've got other questions and would rather hear something on something else, it's fine with me. I'm I'm not itching. If you want me to rehearse it a little bit, here's the issue: is in the past we always taught, or the traditional teaching of the body on the second chapter of Daniel, the seventh chapter of Daniel, and the 13th and 17th chapters of the book of Revelation. I think for the most part, you can look at it that Daniel and Ezekiel are the apocalypse, are prophetical books of prophecy for the Old Covenant. However, they do definitely extend down here and project on into the Gentile world in the end of, but it doesn't go into all detail. Don't go give as near as much detail. The book of Revelation is definitely the prophetical book for the end time of the Gentile world. There are some positions on the book of Revelation that it all was fulfilled before or by AD 70. I've looked at some of that. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I can see, you know, where how men have, and I do believe that there's one, or I know of probably one, or I know of two ministers in the body that believe that. That believes that all the book of Revelation was completed or fulfilled by AD 70. I have a hard time just getting past Revelations 4:1. You know, that here in the end of the world, John's told, now we're going to show you that I'm going to show you what's going to come after this. And and it continues on, and how book of Revelation 13 is obviously a continuation of Daniel 7. And Daniel 7 projects, and it's clear that it's talking about Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and the papacy. And it's pretty difficult to back all that up. However, there are men that do that. And they have to kind of wiggle it around to get it all to fit. But you know how the old saying is, you can make the Bible say anything if you just keep trying to twist it around. But you can rest the scriptures. Anyway, getting back to the issue at hand, or consideration of how many heads there is on the beast and dragon, and of course, obviously, it says there's seven. There's finally to be an eighth that's of the seven. Our traditional teaching has been starting with Daniel 2, where Daniel was interpreting the image of the man that had a head of gold and shoulders and arms of silver and belly and thighs of brass and legs of iron and feet of iron and clay and toes of iron and clay. Daniel interprets it that thou art the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar. He's telling the king that he's the head of gold, which is Babylon. Then that the silver, and it's amazing to me how God did this, how God showed it. Of course, he's God. I guess he can make it work any way he wants it to. There were two. There were two parts to the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians, and there's two arms on the image of the man. And then the brass was Greece. Of course, the two world powers prior to that was Egypt and Assyria, but Daniel doesn't deal with the prior dragon heads. Of Egypt and Assyria. He just starts out with the day that he's living in, with Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold, and showing what world powers will take over from there. So Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome is the legs of iron, and there's two legs. Brother Lenny, brother, who was it? No, Brother Brown asked. He said, Brother Smith, I wish you'd give up one of them legs. I said, there's two of them there. We can't get rid of one of them. You can't walk with just one leg. Two legs on a man. Of course, what he meant was is we're showing that there's two parts of Rome, pagan and papal, where we always in the past have shown that the legs were Rome and then the next head was papal Rome or the papacy, another head. I think didn't we have on our images that just down to the knees was, how did we show that? Because we always showed, huh? Yeah, but you can't, I don't think. How's that image? Anyway, the best that that was from here to here. And then the legs were iron. Well, you could take it down. You know, it does say belly and thighs. Really, I think it covers the trunk of the body, and then the legs below the shoulders down to below the trunk of the body, and then your legs is iron, and then iron and clay. And of course, we always showed that there, in other words, six heads was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then papal Rome. That's how we taught it, was the seventh head of the beast. The two-horned beast in Revelation 13 was never considered a head of the dragon. Of course, Brother Leninger was, I'm not sure if Brother Leninger was the first. There's been many men, even Revy Mears, by the way, was the first man that I know of that taught a Matthew 27:52 resurrection, or that studied that, and Cornelius Mears did too, but Cornelius Mears finally changed back to the traditional teaching and said, I've examined that and I'm not going to push it forward anymore. Brother Victor Brown taught that. But Brother Leniger probably worked on it and developed it more than anybody, and projected that the and I might say something on that. I do refer to Brother Leniger quite a bit when I'm talking to the Brotherhood or, you know, in a general meeting. But in discussion, you know, sometimes if you're listening to tapes and you feel like I don't mention him enough, I want you to know I'm not trying to take credit for something Brother Leniger did. But he was so controversial that sometimes it's better to leave his name out when you're in a discussion, because it just rubs people wrong, because they think you're still trying to hammer, you know, and take his position. I'm not trying to take Brother Leniger's position any more than he was trying to take anybody else's. I want the truth. If we're wrong, I want to get it fixed. Brother Leniger proved he could change, so I don't have any trouble that he don't want anybody polyparroting him. He didn't up until the time he died. I don't think he'd want anybody to be a Lenigerite and just teach what he taught and just, you know, stay right with that. That'd be foolish for us to even think like that, because we have got to want the truth and we've got to keep working on it. And if we had it, it would be established. But it's not established, so we have to keep working on it and keep our minds open for these things. There's a lot of things that many wonderful things I received from Brother Leniger, but I've added too. Some of them I've changed on. I don't hold everything exactly like he did, but I'm open. You know, I'm not just changing for the sake of change. I want the truth. Anyway, so Daniel 2, and then Daniel 7, there's four beasts in Daniel 7, and then there's the little horn. You know, if you want to turn there, we don't have time to, you know, cover all this ground, but I can give you the issues. I've been over this before when we went through the book of Revelation, so... in Daniel 7, verse 2, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So these beasts came up out of the sea. Remember, the sea is a sea of humanity. Revelation 17, the angel told John that the sea was peoples, nations, and tongues. It's the world. These dragon powers came up out of the world. In other words, they evolved out of the nations of the world and became dragon powers. And when we say dragon powers, we mean civil powers that ruled the world. When in Bible prophecy, when a power finally gains enough to rule the world, it's called a dragon power or a beast power. It's pretty hard to differentiate between the dragon and the beast. The beast is, there's four beasts right here. And these dragon, these heads of the dragon are beast powers. The dragon is the beast. The beast is the dragon. You can't hardly separate that, but they all have a, you know, there's a woman in Revelation 17 that is riding on the back of a scarlet colored beast. And this woman is the mother of harlots. She's called a harlot herself. And... And So there's a religion, and that's the papacy at that time. But in every dragon head, there is a religious power. Pharaoh was a god. All of the heads of these world powers were the head of the church, or they had somebody that was the head of the church that they put in power. There was a marriage of religion or God's people and these world powers. And that's called spiritual adultery. When the church gets involved with that. So here in Daniel 7, the first beast was like a lion. I'll go through these sort of hurriedly. The second one was a bear, and that was, the lion was Babylon, the bear was Medo-Persia, and the bear had three ribs in its mouth, and it had devoured much flesh. And Babylon had the help of Lydia and Egypt to war against the Medo-Persians to maintain their position of power. But Medo-Persia defeated Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt. That was the three ribs. Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt was the three ribs in his mouth. Then the leopard is Greece. Then in verse 7, here's Rome. And of course, these are the world powers. You can follow them through history. Said, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. He didn't know what to liken it unto. It had not been anything he seen he could compare it to. And strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. The 10 horns here on, now there's a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. The 10 horns was the horns of this terrible beast. It almost looks like you could, you could see each one of those heads and one of them having 10 horns. Now, in verse 8 it said, and I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Came up among them. It was still the horns on this terrible beast, on Rome. And this little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient of days sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure. And he goes on through this chapter to show how eventually the kingdom of heaven is going to rule and reign on the earth. He carries it down to the end. But he doesn't project beyond this terrible beast. That's as far as he goes, except for the little horn, which these 10 horns are the 10 provinces of Rome that they were a part of the government and the structure of the Roman Empire. And I've gave you all those names before. Have I ever gave you the names with, well, I'll give it because maybe somebody here don't have it. I'll give it real quick. The first one was, and there's no real order to this. I guess I could go back. I have went back and studied how these provinces came into existence. And sometimes it's pretty gray area to figure out, there's not really a date to put because they evolved out of different tribes of people and in different areas, and there was all kinds of, wars and scrapes between these different tribes, and they'd gain power and then they'd lose. And so it's real hard to put a handle on exactly how they came into full power. But the Anglo-Saxons were one of them, and today that's England. And then another one of the 10 provinces was the Franks, which today is France. And then the Suevi, which is S-U-E-V-I, the Suevis is today Portugal. And then the Visigoths, there were two main Gothic tribes, and it was the Visigoths and Ostrogoths, but for right now, just put down the Visigoths. The Ostrogoths ceased to exist after a period of time, so V-I-S-I-G-O-T-H, Visigoths. That's Spain today. Then, Spain. Mm-hmm. And then the Burgundians, which today is Switzerland. And then the Lombards, L-O-M-B-A-R-D-S. Burgundians, B-U-R-G-U-N-D-I-A-N-S, or just no S, just Burgundian province, which is Switzerland. Then the Lombards, L-O-M-B-A-R-D-S, which is Italy. And then the Huns, H-U-N-S, which is Germany. Okay, that's seven. Then here's the three that were plucked up by the little horn. The Vandals, V-A-N-D-A-L-S. And by the way, that's where the little term, you know, vandalism came from, was from this tribe of and province of the Vandals. And they were known for vandalism. But they don't exist today. There is no today because they were plucked up by the papacy. And then the Herulis, H-U-R-U-L-I, and of course they don't exist today. And then the Ostrogoths, O-S-T-R-O-G-O-T-H-S. And they no longer exist today. The Herulis were plucked up in 493. And then the Vandals were plucked up in 534. The Ostrogoths were defeated to a point by 538 that they didn't have any real true resistance, but they really didn't cease to exist until the 550s. Probably 553 is about the last date you can find on them. But you have to remember that now let's turn to, before we leave here, let me say something about this. Let's back up. The 19th verse. It says, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." I'm reading this to show you that this horn, this little horn, which was the papacy, was not another head. It was a horn on the head of the fourth beast. That's important. Egypt and Assyria were the two dragon powers prior to these four. There's only four beasts in Daniel 7. That's six heads. And the papacy is a horn on the head of that beast. It's not another head. It's not another beast. So there's only six heads that is dealt with here instead of seven. Where we've always put it is there was a seventh head. Now in Revelation 13, let's go to Revelation 13. In Revelation 13, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." These horns and the ten horns are the ten provinces of Rome, Brother York. Yes. Yeah, there was 10 provinces of Rome. Right here is the fulfillment of Daniel 7. And here's what it says. He stood on the sand of the sea and he saw a beast rise up out of the sea. So here a beast rose up out of the sea and seven heads, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. Now see, this is Rome, and the beast that was before it was Greece, which was the leopard in Daniel 7. So it's got the characteristics of the beast powers or dragon powers prior to it. It was like a leopard. It had some of the ways of Alexander the Great and some of the ways of Greece. And its feet, whereas the feet of a bear, the foundation structure of the government of Rome was somewhat like the Medo-Persian Empire. Yes. I'm saying this is Rome, and it evolved out of these others. It was like the leopard, which was Greece before it. It had feet like a bear. It had the characteristics of the... In other words, it's just an evolvement of how world powers evolve and develop and overcome one another. And then it had a mouth like a lion, which was Babylon. It had even a stronger mouth than Nebuchadnezzar had in the Babylonian Empire. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. This is the little horn. This is the little horn, and this is Rome giving the little horn power. In other words, here's where the papacy comes into existence, the little horn of Daniel 7. It becomes a beast power now. It's still part of the sixth beast. It's just transferring power. It's really given power by the dragon, which is Rome, which was in power at the time that this happened. And I'm saying this happened really starting with AD 325, or when Constantine became a Christian and he wanted the world to have the Christian religion, and so he set the Pope up as power over the church. But he gave him power, and of course, the Pope of Rome in the Council of Nicaea of AD 325 is when he flexed his first muscles. And it wasn't so much Constantine giving him the power to do that, it was the rest of the religious world of Christendom that did it. But But if Constantine hadn't gave them power and authority to do it, they wouldn't have been able to do it. So it all goes back to having a civil power's backing. So the dragon gives him power. Now, immediately, verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So, what happened, those three provinces, the Herules, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths, rejected. If you go back and study the history of it, in the Council of Nicaea, the Pope came up with the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Their issue was, what is the substance of God? And they came up with the fact that he was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three persons in, but they were one. They were all equal in substance. They were all equal in nature and equal in spirit. And he came up with that doctrine. The person that there was a Arian was a man that withstood in the Council of Nicaea, withstood that doctrine. And Arianism is the belief that there's two in the Godhead, the Father and the Son, in Antioch. But he did not win. The Pope won, and they put it forward as the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. The Ostrogoths, the Vandals, and the Herules rejected that doctrine of the Trinitarian doctrine and said, we're Arians and we're not accepting this doctrine, nor is the Pope going to be the head of the church in our provinces. That wounded him, immediately wounded his head and prevented him from being able to rule the whole Roman world. He then plucked them up. It took time. It took to 538 for him to pluck up those three provinces. But by 538, he had overcome and plucked up those three provinces and destroyed their influence. And then verse 4 said, or 3b said, and all the world after the wound was healed. My point here is we cannot use this scripture to show that Martin Luther wounded the head of the beast. Martin Luther did deal a blow to the beast. He did wound it. But you can't use this scripture to show that. Because I'm showing you why. The head was wounded unto death, but it didn't die. Then it was healed. And then the whole world wondered after the beast. Now look at verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. This is Rome and the papacy in a marriage. The church and civil power joined together, saying, who is like unto the beast and who's able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months is, there's 30 days to a month in Jewish calendar. That's 1260 days. And in prophecy, we've always used a day for a year. Ezekiel, God gave Ezekiel a day for a year in his prophecies. And so that's 1260 years. And the papacy, or the Pope, ruled from 538 AD until 1798 when the French general, Napoleon, wasn't it, went in and took the papacy, or the Pope, and put him in jail, put him in prison, and ended his rule. That was 1260 years. From 538 plus 1260 is 1798. And I think you've got to consider this, that in 1798 his rule ended. In 1776, America was founded. The Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock in 1620, but it was 1776 before the Constitution was drawn up and America became a nation. And if the Pope's rule hadn't ended, no doubt he would have came on into America. But God, in the Reformation, caused the woman to have wings to fly in the wilderness and come to America so God could have his church restored. And we haven't had a dragon head since. But there is another dragon. And I'll just quickly, I don't have time to go through much explanation, but in Revelation 13 and verse 11, it says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Notice, all the other beasts came up out of the sea. Daniel's four beasts come up out of the sea. This beast in Revelation 13, one, it came up out of the sea, which is humanity. This beast came up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He's identifying what he's talking about. This beast in the first and second verse. And he goeth and he doeth great wonders, and so he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth, the sight of men deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Yes, this is the United States of America. This two-horned beast started out with two horns like a lamb. Our forefathers started this out. They were Christians. They were God-fearing men. They wrote our Constitution upon their knowledge of the Bible, of what was righteous and what wasn't. And of course, this is one nation under God. They put in God we trust on all of our monetary, on all our monies. But they did hold, because they came out of the persecution of Rome, they wanted a nation that had freedom of religion and established separation of church and state. And there's your two powers. The civil power and a religious power. Started out very lamb-like. The church wasn't to be ruled by the civil power, and the civil power wasn't to be married to the church. They were to take care of civil matters, and the church was to take care of God's matters. But it had two horns like a lamb, and it spake as a dragon. Anybody that can't see America's talking like a dragon today is not listening. Then, notice verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the beast, the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And they build an image to the beast. How can you not be a dragon power if you speak as a dragon and you exercise all the power of a dragon, and you can give life back and build an image to the dragon power that was before you? This is headship. It's dragon power. You can't get around that. That's why in the image of Daniel, you've got the gold, head of gold, the arms and shoulders of silver, the bellies and thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet of iron and clay. When the beast rises or speaks, and America is fully formed as a dragon power, it will build an image to the beast. It will bring Catholicism back together with Protestantism. And it will give its power to the Pope just like Constantine did. It'll be a same operation. And that's the iron and the clay. Catholicism and Protestantism with Rome's backing. And that's the feet. That's not the 10 toes are the same thing, because the 10 kings will come into effect. America will have to go down in judgment and be destroyed to the point that it's no longer a dragon power. Then the 10 kings will come into power, which I still am putting that as a United Nations, not because it's 10 individual, the number 10, but because 10 is the number of judgment in the Bible. And there may be something else developed that we'll see something greater or further on that in the future. But for right now, the only thing I could see, if America went down, that could bring any kind of solution or stabilization to this world, if America crumbles, would be that the United Nations would begin to take a hold of things and try to stabilize the world and the economy and the situation, to try to bring some kind of peace or some kind of feeling of stabilization or safety to the world, because it's going to shake the whole world. It's the earthquake of Revelation 6, the last part of Revelation 6, when it says there was an earthquake and it shook the whole world. That's America going down. Then the 10 kings will come into the power, and they'll give their power to the beasts. It's still iron and clay. But they'll do it for the purpose of destroying it. And eventually they will turn and eat her flesh and rend her. And of course that'll be the battle of Armageddon. There's where Armageddon will hit. We still have, in my estimation, about 20 years before that happens, before the 10 kings will come into power. In which the last prophetical hour will be 7.5 years, that the bride will be made up, and the last 7.5 of that 15 years will be the 7 plagues, or the 7 vials will be poured out, the judgment of God. Armageddon, it'll start with Armageddon, and vials will be poured out for 7.5 years. So we're down in the short rows, you might say, but there's still a lot that has to happen. In the feet members, there's a lot of little bitty bones. So things are going to happen. They're going to happen fast. Things are happening fast right now. So anyway, I'm just trying to show you why I've changed from saying that Rome is the seventh head of the beast. Now, in the 17th chapter, we didn't get to that, but the eighth is of the seven. And it's the beast that was and is not yet is. The eighth head, which is the image to the beast, which is the papacy, will come back into existence. I'm saying now that the Muslims, the position of Muhammadism is becoming so strong, and its position is to stamp out Christendom. They think that's of the devil, and they want to rid the world of it. I know they'll tell you that ain't what they, but I'll guarantee you, just go read the Quran. Study their religion, and you'll know that's deceit and lies. This onslaught of Al-Qaeda, which is all of the Muslim religion, that body of people has to be considered. They are going to continue our whole war. The position of the world is we got to stop this Al-Qaeda movement get rid of Israel. And they're going to force America to join, to get every Christian nation to join together with it. By the way, the earth, America came up out of the earth. And the earth in the book of Revelation is talking about Christian religion, not the sea. America didn't evolve out of nations, peoples, and tongues, out of the ungodly world. It evolved out of Christendom, out of Christian religion. The earth is America in the book of Revelation, and it has to do with the religion of Christianity. And that's how America evolved. The earth helped the woman, Revelation 12. That was swallowing up the flood. That was the religion of Christianity that swallowed up the flood of the doctrines of the Catholic Church, and that helped the woman. You couldn't find who was a real Christian, who wouldn't. If it had been a separate religion, you could have found them easy and ended it. You could have slaughtered all of them. But everybody said, I'm a Christian, so you couldn't figure out who it was. That helped the woman. Hurt not the earth, the sea, or the trees. And in Revelation 7, those, the earth is religion. Don't, I'm preventing you from hurting any of my people that's in the world. And it's the winds of the earth that's blowing. It's the winds of Christianity that's blowing, and the beast system, or the image of the beast, that's going to blow down here once the beast speaks, once this dragon power rises up. So there will, you know, what was I talking about before I went to the earth there? On this, about how that the Muslim religion is going to force America to put together every Christian nation they can to join together, and they'll see that they'll need the most powerful human being on the face of the earth, which is the Pope, to head up and bring all of God, all of the Christian people, including the Catholic Church and all their money and influence, and put together a system that's going to stop this Muslim onslaught of Muslimism or Mohammedism. And that's when they'll say peace and safety, and that's when sudden destruction is going to come, because America will go down in judgment. You'll see Israel. America's going to turn its back on Israel before it's over with, and Israel's going to play a big part in the destruction of America. And so I'm not trying to be a preacher of doom, but I am trying to tell you what the Bible shows is going to happen. It is going to happen. There's still time. God's still going to protect his people. You stay in the boat, you'll be fine. God will take care of you. He'll preserve you. I won't tell you won't be any suffering, because there will be. There's going to be great persecution before this is over with. And things like this should put the fear of God in us. We are to fear God. And we are to realize there's no way out of here except by him. Hallelujah. All right, we ran over, but we'll make up for it upstairs, maybe.